Good day, everybody. I thought I go first.
I don't know. I think I usually do.
Welcome to episode 16 of the Good Day podcast, where Maxie and I talk about our adventures. And we have our biggest guest to date, internet celebrity, national icon of Australia, Marshall.
Australian heartthrob.
Hello. Happy to be here.
So if you guys don't know, you probably already do, Marshall just recently went dummy viral on TikTok via Maxie's TikTok, but we'll explain that a little later.
11-11, make a wish.
Make a wish, everybody. And he's here with us now. He hasn't run off with an Australian French wife yet, but we're still looking for him. And Marshall, just tell everybody how you got here.
Hello, I'm Marshall. I'm Corey's neighbor, and I got here via a lot of planes.
It was a long journey, hey?
It was a long journey. I left on a Sunday and got here on a Tuesday, but happy to be here.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, mind you.
Tuesday night.
Skipped your birthday and everything.
Skipped my birthday. Yeah. I only had a 5-hour birthday, and all 5 hours of it were in Doha.
What a place to celebrate 26.
Yeah, they have a jungle inside the airport, which was cool.
Yeah, and that was from our perspective, you were traveling for ages. Like, we were like, oh, okay, Marshall left Mexico City, and it was, like, days before we saw you.
From my perspective, I was also traveling for ages. I tried to sleep as much as possible. I took, I think, cold medicine to help me sleep, and it worked.
Drinking
it worked.
That lean.
I didn't get any colds either.
He was just having a little birthday fun.
Yeah, so we picked Marshall up in Perth Airport that evening, and next day we were in our favorite holiday park to date, and we haven't really had many good holiday parks after that one. But the next day we kind of just settled in and got some necessary stuff for Marshall, and yeah.
Marshall's like one thing he wanted to do besides get his camping gear was to get a haircut. He had texted us a few days before his trip, and he said, everyone grow out your mustache, and we're getting mullets upon arrival. And
I fulfilled the mustache part, not the mullet yet.
I'm working on it. But we took Marshall to get a haircut, and how do you feel about that haircut?
I feel great about it. It was the one thing I had to do in Australia. Maxie and Corey are right. I texted them beforehand. Very little follow through on their end. Corey does have a good mustache going. Maxie did not even attempt one, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
We get to a mall. We do our shopping, and we pass probably three or four different yeah, barber shops. And we go to the one with no one in it. I sit down and I say, I'd like a mullet. And then a man says something to me in Australian. I don't know what he says, but a few minutes later I have a mullet. He puts powder in my hair, which was a first. Made my hair really sticky. But that was probably the best the mullet looked.
Yeah.
When it was full of powder.
Yeah. Or right when you go swimming too.
He prescribed sea salt.
He prescribed me sea salt.
So we've been snorkeling.
He started to chirp Corey, saying he needed to line up.
Oh, and it made me feel so bad, too, because you guys all know I've gone through this haircut dilemma, self-image of myself, and I don't know what to do. Like, it's just this big, big dilemma in my life, and he really was hitting me in the soul when he was like, yeah, you need a touch-up, buddy. Like, you're not looking good. And that hurt.
If anyone's confused why Marshall wanted a mullet, yes, mullets exist everywhere, but they are very prevalent here in Australia. It's like you look around and every other man has a mullet, usually a really bad mullet too. So Marshall was just assimilating to their culture. It's not like some people on this... I made a TikTok video about this. It has over 1 million views.
Most
people,
viral.
People love Marshall. Mm-hmm. That's for one. But some Americans are like, we invented the mullet. Marshall didn't come here and say, hey, Australia, thanks for inventing the mullet, let me get a mullet. He just knew, because he's cultured, that Australians rock the mullet, every other man's, so Marshall became one of them. And the Australian women love it in the comment section.
Yeah, none in real life yet. Only online.
A lot of online proposals and like,
yeah,
marry me, stay in Sydney, please.
A couple United States girls being like, when does he get back?
Nice.
Yeah, and then there was also accomplished at the mall the Battle of the Telstra. Maxie's had her own vendetta against Telstra.
And Optus, for the record.
It just seems like these companies don't want you to have service ever.
Yeah. Marshall, you want to talk about your Telstra struggle?
I, shortly before becoming a mullet man, went to the Telstra store and said, can I get a chip? And they said, it's a long wait, buddy. go to the grocery store.
Woolies.
Go to Woolies and get one there. So we go to Woolies, and I get a chip. Easy peasy. A few hours later, I put it in. I activate it, and I don't have any service. And I think, okay, it's just a little wait. So we wait, and we wait, and we wait. And we end up going to Rottnest Island, where I still don't have any service. And I'm chatting with Indian men online about restoring this service. And they all say, have you tried restarting your phone? And I say, yes, I have. And so when we get back from Rottnest, we go to a real store. And we sit down. I hand the lady my phone. And I say, my service doesn't work. She says, have you tried restarting your phone? And I say, yes. She says, okay, this is above my pay grade. Brings over her manager. She says, have you tried restarting your phone? I say, yes. She says, well, this is above my pay grade. So they don't do anything. They give me a new chip, and then a new chip, and then another new chip. And about six chips later, it's been an hour, so I just walk out. And the chip still doesn't work in my phone. I tried everything, but I just put in a different phone, and it works, and now it just hotspot.
Marshall has two phones.
Yeah,
they've come in handy.
One for the club and one for the quokkas.
Yeah, speaking of the quokkas, the first thing, like the first real attraction we went to was Rottnest Island. It was
You guys know that's my dream spot if you're an avid listener.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it was number one on your list of things you wanted to do in Australia.
Oh, so good, so good.
And it paid out. It was amazing.
The quokkas were everywhere. It's not like you have to go to one spot to find them, like the wombats in Cradle Mountain.
Yeah.
It's like, they're just everywhere. They're supposed to be out at sunrise and sunset, but no, they're up all hours of the day in the town center, getting picked up by strange women.
Yeah, it was a lawless area, that town center. There were specific signs that said, don't feed or touch the quokkas. And then these big gates, kind of like a Western saloon that you push to get in. With big no quokka signs. And there were quokkas all up in those pens.
They were everywhere.
In the stores. Being fed,
like, from the table, being picked up by women and their children.
Yeah.
Corey picking them up by their tails, swinging them about. It was sick.
And quokkas are known as the friendliest animal in the world. You should Google them if you have not seen a quokka.
They're amazing, yeah.
I will post more pictures if you haven't already seen the pictures. They have a smile on their face all the time, and the government actually encourages you to take selfies with them, which, if you've gone anywhere, it seems like the governments are always protecting the animals. Do not go close.
Don't
let them be wild.
Don't ride the dolphins.
Yeah, don't ride the dolphins. But in this little island, they encourage taking selfies and getting up close with this animal because it looks like it's smiling. So that was a little refreshing.
Yeah, so it was really fun, and there's a lot of stuff. Well, there's really two things to do at Rottnest Island. It's hang out with quokkas and go snorkeling.
Mm-hmm.
So before we got out there, we got our snorkel gear. We were like, ah, this is kind of expensive, but we've been using it so much that it's basically free now. And looking back on it, Rottnest was one of the best snorkel spots just because they had like,
oh, that was so good,
half a dozen really cool areas all on the island. And the island is pretty small. It's like probably Block Island sized. Like,
maybe
I think
smaller.
Yeah, maybe a little smaller. But, well, because I think Block Island is like 13 miles, and this was 12 kilometers long. So, yeah, it's a little smaller, but there's a tour bus, or just like a hop-on, hop-off bus, where we would just hop on, go to one snorkel spot, hop off, go to another, and we hit like four or three snorkel spots.
Yeah, Little Salmon Bay, the Basin, yeah. Phase Bay.
Yeah, a lot
they
of cool.
They were beautiful. I would go back there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I wish the water was warmer, but it was like, that was early in our snorkeling days. I think we're built a little tougher now.
They had specific snorkel routes.
That was
with
sweet.
Little hidden treasures at the bottom.
Yeah.
That had like signposts to tell you about the fish and stuff, but they were too covered in algae to actually read. but there were fish hanging out by the fish signposts.
Yeah. I liked all like the caves and stuff at the basin where like you could, like I probably would do it more now because I'm a little more confident under the water, but then I was like, oh, it'd be cool to like swim under the cave and look up. Yeah.
That makes me nervous.
Yeah, Rottnest was really cool. I would totally go back, and like Max and I were wondering like, would it be possible to stay here for like 3 months to do our remote work there? And I would say yes after looking back, but we probably aren't gonna go back because
yeah, in another world or another year, because we have our 7 weeks on a remote island in August, so we're probably gonna just get our jobs out there. But if we didn't have that on the horizon, we would definitely do our remote work on this island with the quokkas everywhere.
Yeah, and it seems like it, even like the people we were talking to who work at the bottle shop are like, oh yeah, I live here, which was kind of odd because it's such a small island and only a 45-minute ferry commute. You wouldn't really expect people to be living out there, but they're probably just doing the remote work.
Yeah, there's no cars there.
Yeah, well, there was just too much construction. I guess it's the off season technically, but that's, and they got to make it look nice somehow. So.
In fun fact, we bought the Pinky's Sunset Ciders, and we were drinking them on Pinky's Beach, watching the sunset, when someone realized that the cider was designed or named after that beach.
Yeah. Yeah, so overall review of Rottnest was amazing. I loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Good animals.
Good animals. Favorite animals. Maybe they might be a top three favorite animal of all time.
All time for sure.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish I got to pet one, and they love being rubbed on the belly. The next thing we went to do after we got off Rottnest.
Wait, well, first we went to Telstra, and can you just mention what the girl asked you when you said you were American? Just a quick. Our listeners know this is a common theme.
She was like, where are you from? I said, the States. She was like, I really want to go to New York. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, it's an okay place. And she said, yeah, but I don't know how safe it is. Aren't there a lot of guns? And I think my answer was, so long as you don't put yourself in a place with guns, you probably won't see a gun.
Exactly.
I don't know if that convinced her. Yeah, anywhere you go,
it seems like
you get asked about guns.
Yeah, it seems like such a general idea that like people are like, oh, America's so unsafe. And I don't know, we were talking about this, how like being out of the country more gives you a more sense of pride of where you come from. And I think that's just so
Marshall
longer.
Mentioned that on his like first day visiting us. He said that he'll defend America now that he's like been outside of America for a long time.
You just learned that everywhere else also stinks. Everywhere has problems.
Yeah.
Everywhere is mean.
Yeah.
But at least in America, the servers are really nice, and no one bullies me as much.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the TikTok comments, they love Marshall. But if you're a worker here, you're probably not in a good mood, because that just seems to be the
trend. The case. Yeah.
MO.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry, Corey.
Yeah, but the next thing after Rottnest was our journey north. And probably looking back, we should have spent some more time in Rottnest, because there's really not much to do in the north, but we're checking off all the boxes here.
All the snorkel boxes.
Yeah, all the snorkel spots.
Oh, and if you guys hear waves in the background, it's because we're on a beach in Exmouth.
We're actively snorkeling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're underwater. Yeah, so the next really point of interest was these rocks that were called the Pinnacles, and it's basically just like a forest of just weird rock structures that just stick out of the ground in the desert, and no one really knows how they get there. Does anyone have a favorite theory?
I think they're just coral.
Yeah. Maxie?
Did I have a theory? I can't remember.
You thought
there
were Aboriginal grave sites of ancient Aboriginal spirits.
Oh, no. I was saying, like, how the pyramids were built, and everyone's like, how did these get here? How did they do it? Maybe the Aboriginals, who everyone always, like, tells you they lived here first, like, maybe they built something here, and this means something to them. And, because they, I mean, it's very interesting to look at, and it's a huge site,
a huge
of
space, yeah.
All these pointy things. Like, maybe they put together the sandstone. I don't know. I sound crazy. I don't know anything about rocks.
One of the theories listed in the visitor center was there were ancient trees or tree roots that, like, got calcified and then filled in with, like, other things and then became solid. But no one knows, and it's a really cool area. The only bad part, this is when we first discovered the flies.
The bush fly.
The bush fly is the number one enemy. There are millions, billions, and they love just, they don't bite you. They just annoy you. That's all they do.
They feed on the tears and sweat of mammals. And so they hang
tears.
Out. That sounds like a joke, but yeah. That's what Wikipedia says. So they hang out on your face and
they'll
your back.
They'll make you cry.
Trying to crawl into all of your orifices. Just like, yeah, you don't feel them biting. Well, they don't bite, but you don't feel them sucking your sweat.
No.
But that's, I guess, what they're doing.
They're terrible, and
I'm better at surrendering to them, but I think I'm over them now that we've gone so many places where...
Yeah, well, they're gone now, so there's none up here. I think there was, I don't know if this is true, but there was a heavily east wind that blew them from the center to the coastline.
It was all speculation.
That was speculation, but there was like 4 days in the row of like 30 mile an hour, 20 mile an hour winds blowing east. So, or blowing to the west. Blowing from the center to the west, yeah.
Pinnacles is where we saw people first with the fly masks, which are like nets that you wear over your head. And we all scoffed at them, saying, what, dummies?
Yeah.
And then I think the next day we all had bought fly masks.
Exactly, yeah. They were like essentials. And they made life so much better.
Yeah.
Maxie didn't really like the fly nets.
Sometimes I feel like I can't breathe in them, even though I could breathe in them.
Yeah, and then after the Pinnacles was probably all of our worst night's sleeps ever.
Ugh.
Not because of, like, anything but our neighbors.
Yeah, it was in Cervantes.
And
a nice little beach town.
As soon as they pulled up, Maxie was like, these guys are gonna be trouble. Because they came in, there was like seven dudes in one pickup truck trailering a boat. So probably two of them were just traveling in the boat.
Definitely.
On their way from Perth. And they pulled up at probably like 9 o'clock at night, 8:30. They didn't go to bed till 5 a.m.
5:30, because they started convincing each other to go to bed at 5. They were like, guys, it's 5, we should go to bed. And then they kept the party going for at least another half hour.
They were true Australian hooligans, as Marshall put it in his review.
Six of them slept in the rooftop tent, and there was one in a Snuggie on the floor.
Well, no, they said there were three on the floor. I think there would
there
have
were
been
three
like
on the
eight.
Floor?
Yeah.
There was so many.
It was all in a single person tent on the floor, guys.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Floor as in dirt ground.
And then when we got up in the morning, because we had to get going that day, we had to drive to Kalbarri, they were up. They got up at 7, so they had an hour and a half of sleep. I think I heard one crack open a cold one, too, at 7.
Yeah, I started talking very loudly around 7:30, because I was, like, I mean, not loud enough to annoy other people, but loud enough to, like, annoy them. And then they just decided to wake up and, like, start laughing and having a good time again. They weren't even mad about it.
They were having, I want to have this good
Corey
time.
Corey tried to befriend the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to be our friends so bad. As soon as they heard Corey... They said
Once
that
they
we were Canadian.
Canadian
yeah.
Yeah, and Corey was like, America, buddy. And he immediately came over and wanted to, like, be our friend. That's just how Australians are with Americans. And Corey would not tell him where we were going because he didn't want them to follow us to the next campsite and keep us up for 2 days straight.
Nope, that's not happening. So we swiftly got out of there after probably the best reception center.
my goodness, it was a $7 cake and coffee combo. And not only did they have an amazing selection of cakes, they had this one, it was like orange almond pound cake, gluten and dairy free. And it's just like, they were losing money on that deal.
Yeah.
I absolutely swindled them. But before we get too far away from the Pinnacles, I think we should bring up the fact that Corey found a National Parks or like World Wonders Monopoly board.
Yeah.
And the boardwalk, I think, was like the Mars Colony.
Future Mars Colony.
Future Mars Colony. The Park Place, so like the two most expensive places. The Moon was number two. And then third, like right before the Moon, was Pinnacle. The dumbass rocks sticking in the desert. It's like, I honestly thought the termite mounds we just passed were cooler than the Pinnacles. And this the Monopoly board had, like, Machu Picchu as, yeah, like, I don't know, the purple shitty ones, and it had Pyramids of Giza. Yeah. And then Pinnacles.
Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
The Moon. The Pinnacles. And then the Pinnacles.
This was made by someone who lives in Cervantes.
Yeah.
Like Hamdenopoly.
That was the most wild Monopoly, like, National Geographic board I've ever seen. It had some, that was definitely the wildest place. Like Great Barrier Reef, Ningaloo Reef, the Pinnacles were like the three Australian like things on it. And the Pinnacles were like third highest rated.
Yeah, that was iconic.
If I had had that board without going to Australia, it's like, I feel like it would set Pinnacles as a destination. And I cannot imagine traveling just to see Pinnacles. Like, I'd be so incredibly disappointed.
Well, because the flies.
And now even that, it was just like, oh, this is nice rocks.
Yeah. It's a good drive-by spot when you're heading north.
Drive-by spot.
But it's not a world wonder like that.
No. It does not compare to the Pyramids of Giza.
Or Machu Picchu. Yeah.
Or the Moon.
Yeah. The future Mars colony.
The next iconic spot was the Hutt Lagoon Pink Lake.
So all pink lakes are scams. It's fact that pink lakes don't really, they're not that pink. They're only pink at some points. And they don't really look that pink. But this one was definitely the best pink lake I've seen. But
yeah, this one was pretty pink.
Yeah, they said you have to go at peak time. And we got there at peak time. It was pretty pink. Not like the pictures online, but still good.
Yeah, you just gotta, like, increase the saturation a little bit to make it a tourist trap.
Yeah.
But, it was definitely the most pink. It was pink. It was slimy, though.
Yeah, I didn't like the sliminess. Again, a lot of flies there.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think, Marsh?
A lot of flies. That was my takeaway. Yeah. Once again, not something I'd travel for. But driving by, you could stop.
Yeah.
It's like, we spent maybe 10 minutes there.
Yeah, in
it's
and
like
out.
That was the right amount of time.
Yeah. And our next stop was Kalbarri, which I really liked. Or, sorry, what's an alternative name for this town?
Capybara.
Capybara.
Yeah, I think Capybara is the nicest town we've been to yet. I don't know, it just was like, had a really nice river, nice downtown.
Sense of community there.
Yeah, there was.
There was.
There was really nice beaches where you could snorkel. They called them the Blue Holes. We saw probably some of the coolest stuff there. Well, not the coolest. Up to that.
We saw
point.
An octopus.
Yeah, an octopus.
A starfish.
Starfish.
Some fish.
You guys did not tell everyone what you saw, what Corey found at Rottnest Island.
What did I find?
Something near and dear to your heart.
Oh, a lobster, yeah.
The biggest lobster Corey's ever seen.
I think it was like an 8-pounder.
It was so big.
Yeah, without the claws. And at the moment, we didn't know we could just take things from the ocean in some places.
Sea Farmer 101.
Yeah, we should have just taken the lobster. I would have grabbed it.
You should have known this.
I know. But this kind of, after seeing that and after learning more, Marshall has been on an oyster kick.
Yeah, it turns out you could just steal from the ocean's bounty, and they just give it to you for free.
Yeah.
The universe provides.
The universe provides.
So you got your first oysters from the blue pools in Kalbarri.
Is that true?
I think so.
They were small. I don't know.
These were the small ones that we ripped off the oyster beds. Cracked one open really easily. Didn't take me a long time. Just a
bare
few
hands
hours.
Too.
Bare
right?
hands. I cracked open my teeth and then slurped the oyster down. Definitely the smallest oyster I've ever eaten. About the size of like a small pebble.
Essentially, Corey and I would not be eating these oysters, but Marshall's quite brave.
There weren't enough to go around.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yes.
But it's like a fun mission. You've been taking snorkeling as, it's not enjoyment, it's survival.
Yeah, I'm just honing my ancestors as hunters and gatherers. Oystering, you're both hunting and gathering.
Yeah.
Which is a rare one.
Yeah. But, sorry, Corey was, I distracted us from the octopus that I actually found.
That was a good one. And because it was right next to Marshall, found a starfish. And then Maxie saw this crazy-looking octopus, and I don't know. I feel like things in underwater are weird to touch, but that definitely was like, I want to try and touch this thing because it looked so weird.
The octopus?
Yeah, but I was also terrified. It's one of those things where, like, it's awe. It's like you want to try and feel it, but it's
not me.
Dangerous.
I don't want to touch anything besides the sea turtles.
Yeah, the sea turtles... We'll get to those.
That was
the passion project, seeing a sea turtle.
But Kalbarri had really, really, really cool red cliffs going down into, like, the deep blue ocean.
Yeah, that was really nice.
It was a nice town, and we stumbled the next day upon...
Well, we were waiting to... We wanted to get a park pass, and so there's this cafe called the Pelican Cafe, easy, right across from the beach. And then when we pull in, we see a crowd gathering... just around gazebo.
I thought it was a cult meeting.
And we look a little further and there's birds and stuff and we're like, oh, this lady's feeding pelicans right now and giving like a little talk about it. And Wild Birds Limited was just in awe.
In my element.
Yeah.
Yeah, she almost asked me to give the talk. But I didn't want to steal her spotlight.
Yeah.
Let the record show this was like a sanctioned feeding that happens every morning. At 8:45. Pelicans, their mouths smaller than Nemo would make you think.
Yeah, they're still really big.
Uh-huh. Big birds, but I always thought their things, their mouths hung down like...
Gullets?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Thought it was like a bigger... Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were always drooping. Not true.
Yeah. And they were getting attacked by seagulls, too. There was a little bit of a fight going on. From the pelicans and the seagulls, but the pelicans seemed like they had it under control.
Yeah.
That was cool, and Kalbarri was a nice place, and then we went to the national park, which is just basically a big old gorge, canyon, Grand Canyon-esque, minus 1,000. No water in the rivers here, which is kind of a disappointment, because water is life.
Yeah, water is what you want to look at. People chase waterfalls.
Yeah, the flies were bad here too, but we went to a couple different like famous features there. There's the Skywalk, Nature's Window, and Z-Bend. I thought Nature's Window was my favorite out of those three.
Nature's Window is pretty
sick.
Yeah,
same. A lot of Australian national parks have either no roads to get there, you just have to off-road to get there, or they have completely paved trails. So it's very strange, but a lot of these paths to get to these iconic viewpoints were paved.
One,
not Z-Bend, though.
Yeah, one really cool thing about Kalbarri was they, like, had their animals in statue form. Mm-hmm. So, like, all the local animals there were, like, put in the bush a little bit, but in statue form to see what they look like. And that's when we got introduced to the Thorny Devil. Just a little lizard.
Also known as the Horny Devil.
By us.
By Marshall.
It has horns.
Yeah.
There's a horny toad. It could easily be called the Horny Devil.
Easily, yeah.
It's really cool looking.
And there's also these giant anthropods that don't exist anymore, but they displayed what they look like. And I think they should be reintroduced into like New York City just to put people on edge, you know?
I think the people in New York City are always on edge.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe they don't need them, but I say we bring those
back
from extinction.
We could workshop that idea a little bit.
Yeah, so Kalbarri was a cool park.
And Corey made a really good stir fry on a blacktop.
That was fun. I actually want one of those, like, blacktop grills now.
All men want one of those blacktop grills.
Yeah.
Not wrong.
All men just want to be like Uncle Paul. Yeah. Yeah, he's the go-to. Yeah, so after Calabari, we made our way up north more. The next spot was Monkey Maya. And I don't know. I don't think I'd go back to Monkey Maya. The town was a caravan park.
Yeah, the whole place was owned by, what was it, RAC. And we thought it was an actual town we were going to, but no, just one massive caravan park. It was nice. It had, like, two restaurants, bars,
a very rude fry cook.
Yeah.
Very rude fry cook that wouldn't tell us about the happy hour, even though we got texted about the happy hour.
Wouldn't serve me fries.
Yeah.
For my best good, but still.
Yeah, but the whole attraction to this place was, like, back in the late 80s, some lady fisherman and a man fisherman would feed dolphins, and they would come to shore. And that, like, just attracted the whole school of dolphins to come hang out, and then people would pet them, people would just hang out with them.
You'd swim with the dolphins.
Yeah, you could do all sorts of stuff with these dolphins. And now they make it, you can barely go in the water, it's... Like, I want to pet some dolphins, some wild dolphins.
We went to both dolphin feedings while we were there, and that was cool, but they're like, stay away from the dolphins. We came here to swim with them.
Yeah. But it was nice. Right when we got there, we took a walk on the beach, and one of the dolphins was just wandering around close to shore, like, looking at people. The dolphin experience was cool. I just thought it would be a little more poppin', or, like, more...
More interactive.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to stand in the water when they fed them, but...
Much more interaction with the osprey.
Yeah.
The ostrich. The emu.
The emus! Oh, my gosh.
That was an emu park where there were dolphins, not a dolphin park.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was maybe half a dozen emus roaming around the campsite, and people would be like, oh, my gosh, it's an emu, let me take a picture, while they had, like, their food out. This emu would just go and steal all the food while these people are like, oh my god, just looking at it. And they were kind of aggressive too. Like, I would walk at one and I would play chicken with it because I wanted to show that I'm a dominant figure over the emu.
The alpha bird.
I'm the alpha bird.
Who was on your shoulders?
Huh?
Who was on your shoulders?
Nobody. It was just me. And they wouldn't move out of the way. And they would just stare me down. And they're scary creatures.
Yeah. But, shout out to Piccolo for giving us a magical, immediate dolphin sighting.
Yeah, and we spent two nights at Monkey Maya, and the second day we were there, we were on the snorkeling kick, and there's a national park right above Monkey Maya called Francois Piron.
Piron.
And it's just an off-roading track, and we haven't really done much off-roading. But there was some incentive because there was like a, you could fill up your air right when you get off, and it just like looked like a cool adventure to go on. I don't know. What do you guys think of the adventure?
I don't want to go first.
Let the record show that we're recording this outside of a 3400 V6 quad cam, superiorengineering.com 4x4. Prado Land Cruiser
yeah.
With tires the size of big donuts.
Yep.
And the person who owned this prior was a semi-professional, very amateur off-roader. So it's like we're in a tank.
Yeah.
And these greenhorns have never gone off-roading in it, except for that one time.
No, we have.
Yeah, except for that one time.
Definitely the longest off-roading journey we have done was this one.
They wanted to come to Western Australia, and then they get upset when they have to off-road.
I love it.
They love to say they love it, but they don't love it.
I'll be honest. I get stressed out driving just because I don't want anything to happen to the car, to my passengers. And it was 40K out and back of just pure, hard, like, very rutted, washboard, deep sand, Like, these guys were having the time of their life, woohoo, hanging out in the back in the passenger seat where I was sweating behind the wheel, trying to stay on the line and trying to make sure everyone had a good time. Because I was having a good time. I just wanted to make sure they had a good
Corey
time.
Corey was so stressed, and Marshall was getting nauseous in the back.
The nausea, not fun. Do I regret going? Absolutely not. That's what people do out here. They go off-roading.
That is true.
So I want to say I really, really, really like the off-roading, but I did not like how long this off-road was there and back for the most average snorkel. I did pull out of the snorkel early because my goggles would not stop fogging up, and all I saw was gray, and I was just, like, not feeling it. But these guys snorkeled for like another 20 minutes and then we left.
Yeah.
And had to do the hour and a half off-road backwards.
Let the record show the Gmail Excel spreadsheet for the day said Monkey Maya / Francois Perron National Park / 4x4 for 5 to 6 hours. And so we did those. We did all those things.
Yeah. It like, I'm happy that we did it, because it's like, I've said this before, it's like unlocking a new level of, I just gained so much XP.
Corey truly leveled up on the way back. We cut off an hour.
I think easily. We really did cut off an hour of driving. It took us probably 2.5 hours to get out there and only an hour and a half to get back.
It's good experience for Corey, but he will be like so stressed and he'll just...
So locked in.
Focused.
I could tell he's stressed, and he'll just be like, yeah, this is fine. This is good. This is easy. And I'm like, oh, I could tell he is so tense. But he is getting more comfortable with every time.
Yeah, because the next off-roading adventure we went on was yesterday in Coral Bay to go to probably the best snorkel spot.
Yes.
It was absolutely phenomenal. And this one was so much easier. It was only like 5K and...
Five clay,
and we absolutely crushed it and got out there beach driving. We're sitting on the beach now, and how did we get here? We drove on.
We would not be here recording on this beach if it wasn't for Francois Perron.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a coffee van over there.
Wow. Ooh, coffee van. Marshall, what I've come to learn about him through this road trip, week one, he snacks more than anyone I've ever met, and I'm actually impressed. I'm not mad about it.
My body's a machine. It's a high-performance engine with a really small gas tank that you always need to refill.
Everyone's always telling Corey, like in his family, you eat all the time, you're always eating. And it's like a running joke with my family, too. But he does not eat compared to Marshall.
I'm just competitive and need to make Corey feel bad about his eating habits. Surely not eating enough.
Actually, I'm kind of hungry right now, and we're going to hit this coffee truck after to see if they got any goodies.
Might have just drove by us.
Oh, damn.
Oh, shoot. But, yeah, Marshall will house snack after snack after snack after snack all before 9:30 a.m. And...
What's this no road shoulder?
Oh, I was going to say... I don't mind these, like, quiet, remote roads in Western Australia, or in Australia in general. I just don't like that they don't put a lot of effort into building a nice shoulder. Mm. Sometimes if you, like, well, hopefully no one veers off the road, but if you did, like, you'd just be on this pea gravel instead of having a little bit of a shoulder. But sometimes there is a mini shoulder, which I like, but most of the time there's no shoulder.
Oh, one point we missed after, I guess we can get back on track. After Monkey Maya, we went to Quabba Station.
Yeah.
Quibbity Quabbity.
No, after Carnarvon.
Oh, yeah. Carnarvon, fruit basket of Australia. I got really sketchy vibes from it. I just thought I didn't really like it, except for the waterfront area.
Except for the banana plantations.
Banana plantations scare me.
Really good fruit smoothies.
Yeah, that was the best fruit smoothie I've had in my entire life, was from Bumbox, which was just a fruit stand with really nice workers.
Yeah, I loved it.
That was actually probably the best service in all of Australia.
She was so nice.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, after that, we headed out to Quabba Station.
I liked Carnarvon's downtown. It reminded me of, like, Miami. So many palm trees, nice river view. It was nice. But
I just don't get why people live in the places they do out here. it just seems like there's towns and things that shouldn't exist. I mean, how much work could be out there for farm work, you know? And there was nice houses, so obviously people like vacation there.
The reason that Carnarvon was like a big stop on my itinerary is because I thought that it had the iconic big sign on the side of the road that says King Weaves Kill that people take pictures under. And I feel partial to taking a picture under it because we have that last name. And turns out it's actually an hour away from Carnarvon, not on the way to anywhere. So it's in Point Quaba.
Yeah, and I'm happy I went to Point Quaba. It was a really cool place with, like, interesting rocks. And we met a surfer dude who spoke gibberish to us. He's like, "Surfing a red pluff?" I don't know what he said, but immediately I brought out the Australian lingo, saying hectic and other phrases.
He asked if we were going to surf.
Yeah.
And you were like, "Is it good here?" And he goes, "Best in Australia, mate." And he was like 60.
Yeah.
But I like Point Quaba. It was really cool.
Me too.
It was like a rock shelf that the waves would just rush on top of, and then the ocean would pull back really far and create like a mini Niagara Falls where there was a mini waterfall coming off all these rock shelves. So 10 out of 10 for me. Got the picture. We'll post the picture under the sign. We took a cool picture.
Yeah.
And
But after, as we were the night before we left Monkey Maya, just another, there's this whole baseline of Australia. They have bad service. People are not nice at, like, customer service positions, as in, like, America, people are nice. Like, at grocery stores, like a checkout line, think of Trader Joe's.
Oh, so nice.
Yeah. That's...
they could never have that here. That's the reason.
Complete opposite of here. Like, we were checking out in this small grocery store, fishing shop, supply store, and I didn't bring any bags in, so Marshall and I were just getting some goods. And I just asked the dude, "Oh, how's it going today?" And he says, "All right, mate." Just like, he did not want to be there, and just shooting daggers at me the whole time. And I'm like, eventually I was like, "All right, can I take this card out? I'll bring it back." And he was like, "Yeah." Or just like, "Okay." Didn't really say anything. And everyone was staring at me in that store for some reason.
Corey might have had a small bit of anxiety about this. I don't think everyone was staring at Corey, but Corey was acting as if everyone was staring at him.
Yeah, and so I'm like loading all the goods into the basket, and I look around at all these people, and I thought one of them was a worker, and I was like, "I'll take this back, don't worry, I'll bring it back." And then the lady's like, "I don't work here."
She said this after Corey scuttled out of the store.
I just had to get out of there. I just didn't like the feeling.
It was a mom with her two kids waiting in line to check out. A very normal thing to do.
I don't know.
She shouldn't have been staring at him.
Well.
Giving him the anxiety.
Yeah. Just not my best social performance in that store. I'm glad it's over. And I made a promise that I'm never going to go in that store again in my entire life.
But they had the best chicken nuggies.
And I'll also say, none of my ancestors will ever go in that store again.
Okay, guys, it was called Shark Bay Supermarket in Denham, I think.
The top of the food chain. That was their slogan. Nah, the kid was an absolute brat, but just felt a little zonked.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't have been older than, like, 15, 16. But mentally, he was just not there.
I feel like normally I live in bizarro world with weird interactions, but I am very satisfied to hear perfect Corey with his great stranger socialization performance on a normal day had a weird experience.
Yeah, like, usually I'm good at talking to strangers. Like, last night, we got to our campsite here in Exmouth, and there was a dude there in our spot, so I just go up talking to him to see what's up. He kind of snaked our spot because he was slightly closer to the power, and our extension cord didn't reach the power. But
well, because he took our spot, and the stupid campsite called it a powered spot and put the power across the street too far for any extension cord.
Yeah, but this guy just was like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I just said, "Oh, from America." And he's like, "Oh, how many bulls have you ridden?" Just already, just he was he was like, I'm a sheep shearer and I ride bulls. I'm going to ride some bulls tomorrow night at a rodeo trying to make some cash. And he's like, how you love the rodeo, right? And I've been to more rodeos than the average American. I think Marshall, you said one is more than the average?
I think one is far above average.
I've been probably every single year at River Ranch, I would go to a rodeo from like the age of probably 8 to like 20. So that's 12 rodeos at least. And maybe I'd probably gone to more than once.
Yeah.
So I'm a rodeo man. And then we got to chatting about rodeos and living the cowboy life. But I told him I was from the Northeast where we didn't have rodeos.
But he also said that he had been in that spot for like 4 days, 5 nights or something. And Corey's convinced that he probably paid for one night to get into the park and never left.
Yeah. But then when we were leaving, we were going to try and do the same thing. Just like hang out for an extra time, record the podcast there. Some dude comes by us. He's like, you getting out of here?
This was like 3 minutes after checkout time.
He was very friendly about it with the record show.
He was so mean. No, he was fine.
He was nice. And then I called reception just to be cordial and asked for an extra hour. These caravan sites, you don't need to do anything to turn them over. It's not a hotel room. You just drive away and then it's ready for the next person. So I was like, can we have an extra hour? Because check-in isn't till like 2 the earliest. And she was so rude, and I like tried to tell her that someone took our powered spot, quote unquote powered, and yada yada, and that we just would like an extra hour, and I was being so nice, and she was like, you must leave now. No, you have to pack up and leave now. Someone's coming in. And so, anyways, I left them a bad review because she was rude.
Yeah.
I don't normally write reviews, but sometimes you just need to.
Marshall disclosed that he's a professional reviewer. You want to give us some of your stats?
2,500 contributions on Google Maps, level 7 local guide, 13 million cumulative views on my reviews, and Google has paid me not a cent. They've given me nothing. If you're thinking about getting into reviews, go to Yelp.
Speaking of reviews, should we go through our snorkeling ratings?
Yes.
So the last one I think we all agreed on, we did Coral Bay. It was a stop on Exmouth, and we went to two spots there. One is right at the town beach, and then the other was Five Fingers Reef was the coolest spot I've ever snorkeled. I think
me too. We've done St. John, and I've done Miami, and this was amazing.
Get in the water, instantly Maxie and I see a sea turtle. It was amazing. And then we got Marshall to see it too. Maxie,
instant turtle.
Yeah, instant turtle. So skyrocketed its ranking. So that's number one
for
me.
We followed him for a while. He was so cute and magical.
Yeah, and I think we also all agreed that collectively Rottnest Island is number two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the little salmon bay?
Just all of it.
All
just
of it. Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just easiest access to snork.
Yeah.
To dives,
yeah.
Well, what about the blue pools in Kalbarri? Would
blue
that...
pools? Nah.
It was too shallow.
It was shallow.
I could not dive. I was only snorkeling.
Yeah. And it was kind of... We saw some moon jellies there, so...
True.
Before we knew what moon jellies were, we got a little sketched out by them.
It's like the hunt was not truly alive in Blue Point.
Yeah. But then probably blue pools before the town beach of Coral Bay, right?
Town Beach of Coral Bay, pretty
no,
darn chill.
I liked that had the biggest
huge,
coral I've
huge
ever seen.
Huge coral garden.
Yeah, there was a big coral die-off in 2022 because of the coral spawn got trapped in the bay rather than going out. So it all died and then sucked all the oxygen out of the water, and then all the other coral died. And it said it'll take like 3 to 5 years for it to come back. But the structures of the coral were just massive, like trees underwater.
They look like giant succulents.
Yeah.
But yeah, Five Fingers Reef was insane.
Yeah, definitely the
best.
Right
down the road.
The Francis Piron Bottle Bay. I found a bottle there, which was cool. But it had some of the most vibrant colors I've seen snorkeling. But it definitely wasn't... I wouldn't go back there... Again, it was a fun adventure to go out there. Yeah, I'd say that's about it.
Please note that this is the place I only saw gray. But I guess if I held on a little longer, I would have saw vibrant green.
Yeah. So I think those are the top ones we've seen.
And then last, definitely Perth, Metum's Pool.
Yeah, that was just our entry to snorkeling.
It was very wavy there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think now we're in Exmouth, and we're going to go snorkeling today. We're going to go to Turquoise Bay, I think, one of the most popular beaches in Australia.
Wow.
There's 2 points you can snorkel there, so we'll go to the advanced section because we are advanced divers.
Some animals of the week we'll run through really quick. Dolphins.
Yeah, I think dolphins and the turtle are my two favorite.
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, wait, okay. Emus. Yeah. Walking around with trash around their neck.
Bad, dirty birds.
Saw some kangaroos, not as many as you would think, but we'll see more for Marshall.
Yeah.
Lizards. We saw that big lizard in Perth.
Yeah, right on the... In Rottnest, right?
No, the Medham's Pool.
Oh, yeah, that was a massive one.
We probably saw some in Rottnest, too. Yeah. Bunch of pelicans this week. Bunch of them. Oysters. Top creature for Marshall.
Some fishies.
He also collected them from other beaches and ate them. We didn't note that.
We got... The crabs with the big eyes that Maxie saw, they were like from a movie. I don't know. They looked like AI creatures.
Yeah, these crabs with two eyeballs on top of their heads were watching me from their little holes on the sand.
We saw some lobsters, octopuses, shrimp.
Octopi. Wait, is that
no,
how
just
you say
one
it?
Octopus.
No, octopuses.
Yeah.
There was
a big clam that had an eel in it that someone pointed to us. That was really cool.
The clams were crazy out there.
Yeah.
The clams went hard.
Saw a prawn at the blue pools.
Marshall saw a shark right underneath him, a reef shark. And then I saw it in the distance. Those bad boys are fast.
I didn't see the shark because my eyes were closed. No, I'm kidding. I wanted to see it, but I was trailing Corey, and he was kicking so hard to catch up to it that all I saw were bubbles. and I've seen them before in other dives, not in Australia. And we said turtle?
Yeah.
Turtle is the best.
And we're seeking whale sharks and...
Dugongs, which is a manatee. And more oysters.
Yeah. I have no hope for the dugongs. Yeah. I don't think we're going
to
see them.
Yeah, those will be really hard to see.
Are you having fun with us?
Uh-huh.
Would you recommend it to other people to come out?
Yes.
Wow, convincing.
It's a long ways. It's a long ways to go.
Well, don't come from Mexico City.
Don't come for fly season. Don't go to the alligator area.
He hasn't even been there himself.
Yeah, what's the point of being in Australia if I can't snork?
If I can't snorkel, what has this all been about?
Yeah, well, thank you guys all for joining us. And thank you, Marshall, for joining us.
Thank you, Marshall.
Hopefully we'll have one more episode with Marshall. Maybe he'll be on his own by then if he hates us.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll start his own podcast.
The terrors of traveling with Maxie and Corey.
Yeah, anyways, well, thank you guys all for joining us.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.